Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. With all these recent winter storms, I thought it might be appropriate to talk about storm-proofing yourself. It's easy to believe that Krishna or God is in control when everything's going our way. The family's happy, the kids are getting good grades, business is up, our health is good, we're getting good breaks. When everything's going our way and life is good, we're looking good, we've got the goods, we just know that God is in control. But having faith doesn't exempt us from the difficulties. Storms of life come to those who have faith as well as those who don't have faith. A bad medical report, a friend betrays us, business nosedives. In the difficult times, we may be tempted to think that Krishna or God is not concerned about our own personal plight. We may accuse the Lord by saying, "Lord, why did you let this happen to me?" There's a lot of people who claim to be people of faith, but when times get tough, oftentimes their faith caves in. What we need to realize is that the same Supreme Person who is in control when things are going our way, He's also in control when things are not going our way, when we're buffeted and blasted by the storms of life. Krishna would not allow that financial difficulty, that legal situation. He would have not allowed those things unless He had a divine purpose for it. He never promises in the Bhagavad Gita that He'll prevent every difficulty. But He does promise that He'll get us through it, and if we stay in faith and keep Him first place, He'll use that difficulty for good. He'll direct the winds of the storm to blow you forward. Those same winds which are blowing against you and holding you back, maybe even blowing you backwards. A simple word from the Lord, a simple directive from the Lord, and those winds will circle around and come from behind you, and they'll explode you or thrust you forward. Oftentimes, you know, what is meant for our good, we take it as bad. We try and pray away the storms of life. We think of them in a negative way. This is so bad. I can't believe this is happening to me. This is going to do me in. But Krishna is using those storms to get you from point A to point B. He's directing your steps and propelling you forward if you're willing to see it that way. The storms may be strong, circumstances may look bad, but if you stay in faith and not get bitter and not complain, those winds will blow you to a whole new level of your destiny. I read one time about how shipbuilders in the 1800s, the whole integrity of the ships in those days depended on the strength of the mast. So in order to get the best possible mast, they would go to a thickly wooded area, and they would pick one young growing tree that looked like it had more potential for strength than the others. And interestingly enough, they would cut down all the trees in the area. And the result of that, it would expose that one tree to the buffets and the blasts and the rain and the lightning and the thunder of every storm. With the result is that that tree, as it would grow and mature and mature and mature, would get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And if it had not been exposed to the storm, it could not have gotten nearly as strong as it did as it would have if it had been protected and sheltered amongst the other trees. A lot of people, they say they have faith, but that faith cannot stand up to any sort of what they perceive as adversity. They feel like God's disappointed them. They feel like, "I'm not going to be happy until I get my health back. I'm not going to be happy until my wife returns. I'm not going to be happy until that teenager's restored." No, you need to learn the art of being happy right now. And you can do that by realizing that God is always in control. Whether things are going your way or whether they're not going your way, He's still in control. Nothing is happening without His permission. If that storm was going to keep you from your destiny, God would not have allowed it in the first place. If that person who left you, that legal situation, if that financial difficulty in and of itself was going to stop you from getting to where God wants you to do, He wouldn't have let it into your life in the first place. Instead of using our faith to try to pray away every difficulty, why don't we use our faith to believe that when the winds stop blowing and when the storm's over, we're going to be exactly where God intended us to be. If you're familiar with the Mahabharata, you may have heard the story of Savitri. Savitri was born the daughter of the king of the Himalayas. His name was Himavad. She was fair. She was beautiful. She had a great character. She was honest. She was a pillar of integrity. She had so many sterling virtues that no young man would ask for her hand in marriage. She was too good for them, and they were intimidated by her. She was left to find her own husband. So she traveled all over the world with some chaperones. And she accepted into her heart during her travels one good-looking young prince named Satyavan. He happened to be living in the forest with his father, who was a king, but his father had been disenfranchised, and he was without a kingdom at that point in time. So Savitri went home, and she announced to her father that, "I'm in love with this boy. Can we make the marriage arrangements?" Narada Muni dropped by, and he can see past, present, and future. He said, "Savitri, you've made a mistake. That boy suffers from a bad heart condition, and 1 year from today, he's going to drop dead. So choose someone else." Being the woman of character she was, she said, "Once I've accepted it in my heart, I can't. I wouldn't be unchaste enough to then choose anyone. So in sickness or in health, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, he's the one I've chosen." Anyway, to make a long story short, when Satyavan a year later had a seizure and lost consciousness, and Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, came to take him away, Savitri kept her cool, she kept her composure. She had the full realization that although it looks bad, God is in control. He's got me in the palm of his hands. And she talked Yamaraj out of taking her husband away. I don't know if anyone in the history has ever been snatched back from the jaws of death. But the interesting thing was not just that Yamaraj returned her husband to her, but he gave her a number of additional benedictions, which I'm just going to read right now. And the purport is that sometimes if disaster or reverse befalls, one will think oneself or one's friends will think, "Well, what sin did you do that this is the result? What bad thing did you do that now you're getting a bad result?" But that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes storms come not because you did something bad, but because you did something good. And we'll see from the case of Savitri, she didn't have any sin in her background, either in that life or in any previous life. So the storm came, it was a step in her divine destiny to get her to where she needed to be. And not only did she get her husband back, but she got all these additional benedictions from Yamaraj. And if the storm hadn't come, she wouldn't have been propelled to where she was. And we wouldn't be sitting here thousands of years later getting inspiration by hearing her story. So this is what Yamaraj says. "O Savitri, I have freed your husband. He will never experience illness again. He will enjoy prosperity and along with you live for 400 years. When he performs sacrifices, he will attain great wealth. Moreover, he will have 10 sons with you, and all their sons and grandsons will be celebrated monarchs. And your father will also have 10 sons, and they will look like gods. They will be famous along with their sons and daughters. They will be very, very celebrated." So that storm that came from Savitri, choosing a person of ill health, propelled her to a level of her destiny that she could have never achieved otherwise. Now, most storms, we can sort of tolerate them and put up with them if we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. If we think, "Well, it's going to be over such and such and such a date, I can put up with it." I don't know if any of you, like me, have recently, during all this prolonged period of winter storms, have gone to Yahoo Weather and looked at the 10-day forecast and tried. Each time you're hopeful that there'll be a break in the weather that will get up above freezing. And I don't know about you, but last two or three times I've done that over the last month or so, I've been disappointed. There's no forecast that indicates we're going to get above freezing at any time soon. And why do we do that? Because if we know it's 10 days out or even 12 days out or 14, we just... It heartens us, see. But we haven't had that kind of light at the end of the tunnel, at least not yet. So some of your storms, you'll see an end to them, but some of the storms, you'll get the impression that you don't know when they're going to end or you don't know if they're going to end. "I don't know when I'm going to get well. I've been suffering with this illness for so long. I don't even know if it's going to happen. My financial hole is so big that in the natural, I'm not ever going to be able to climb out of it, even if I live for 100 years. The problem is that we worship a supernatural God. Don't rely on your natural calculations. Naturally, you earn a salary at this and this and rate, and you get a promotion, and you get a raise in your salary, and you calculate that way. That's true, you'll never get out of debt. But God is supernatural. He can send a storm, and the powerful winds of that storm can actually do for us what things would not be able to be done during normal times. So have a heart. Don't get upset. We worship a supernatural God. Powerful winds can bring a powerful change. We need to do everything we can. If it's a question of restoring our health, we need to eat right. We need to exercise. If it's a question of getting out of financial hole, we need to budget ourselves and be more disciplined in our spending. But having done everything that we conceivably can do, the next step is to let it go. Relinquish the control of it. Stop trying to dictate or impose your own outcome and put it in God's hands. Karmani avada kadishtema phalashukadach mat karma phalahetabhur matte sangustu karmani. Krishna says, do what you can, do exert yourself to your mightiest, but don't lose any sleep over tonight. Having done what you can, go to sleep, have a good night's rest, and leave the rest up to me. Let us have the attitude, I'm going to let the storm take me wherever Krishna wants me to go. He's going to get me to where I need to be. Don't worry about it, don't lose sleep, quit dreading it. In other words, learn to say to the Lord, I trust you. These winds can blow me back, they can blow me forward, they can blow me to the right, to the left, up and down. But I'm confident and I'm peaceful in the midst of all that, that when the winds abate, I'm going to be exactly where I'm supposed to be. That's a powerful attitude. When Prabhupada, the founder of our society, was ill in 1977, we all prayed. We couldn't see how his international society, consisting of 108 temples, would go on without him at the helm. He had the vision, he had the purity, he had the confidence, and everybody rallied under his leadership. We couldn't even imagine how things would go on in his absence. We certainly recognize ourselves as being woefully under-equipped to manage a worldwide society. And so we prayed every temple throughout the world in the morning, dear Lord, if you desire, please cure Prabhupada. And in the evening, dear Lord, if you please desire, cure Prabhupada. But he didn't make it. The storm got the best of him. The truth is, the storm promoted him. It sent him back into the arms of his beloved Lord Sri Krishna. But now, back on earth, what is going to be happen to his woefully underqualified disciples? Well, a funny thing happens. Every father's ambition for their son is that that son would eventually be a father. And when he becomes a father, he's not equipped for it. He might have gone to school for years and years to learn computer technology. That he knows, that he's ready for. He might have a degree in business administration. He could start his own business. That he knows, that he's ready for. But he comes out of the hospital holding this 8 or 10 pound baby. And he's thinking, I have no training. I have no qualification for this whatsoever. He's afraid he's going to drop him or her. And driving back from the hospital at 25 miles an hour, scared to death. How am I going to do this? And yet not only does he become a good father, or she become a good mother, but they become a great father and a great mother without having had any formal training or education for it. So when Prabhupada left in 1977, the critics said, you'll never make it. We told ourselves, I don't know how we're ever going to make it. But here we are 30 years later, and I'll admit that some of the problems that were left when Prabhupada departed us are still here. We're still wrestling with some of the same issues. But the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now boasts almost 500 temples worldwide. Tens of thousands of devotees. We're stronger than we've ever been before. We have a long way to go. We have a lot more things to learn. But I believe that we're exactly where Krishna intended us to be at this point in time, on this day, in 2013. It's not all the way that we're supposed to go, but we are where the Lord wants us to be right now. Fact is that Krishna could have given Prabhupada another 5 or 10 years of life. He's God. He could have changed it. He could have answered our prayers. But he chose not to, because he wanted us to step into our divine destiny and all. We all face situations that don't turn out the way we hoped. We pray. We believe. But in spite of all that, the loved one didn't make it. Our prayers didn't get answered the way we wanted. As a result, it's easy to get negative, bitter, to give up on our dreams. But we need to learn to do what we did when Prabhupada left. We need to learn to say, Krishna, I trust you. I know that Prabhupada's departure is not a surprise to you. I can't bring him back. I can't make it happen my way. So I'm going to let loose of control. I'm going to give my sails over to you and let you take me where you want me to go. Krishna's plan for your life will not be stopped by the loss of a loved one. It will not be stopped by a bad break. It will not be stopped by an injustice. You may be in a storm, pressure all around, enemies on every side, but the battle is not yours. If you keep God first place in your life, Krishna promises He'll shift those winds, and those same winds that are coming against you will turn around and they will thrust you forward. Quit mourning over what you've lost. Give up what didn't work out in the past. Forgive the people that have been bad to you. If Krishna wanted you to still have that job, you'd have that job. If Krishna didn't want that person who left you to leave you, that person wouldn't have left you. Let it go. If that prayer didn't get answered in exactly the same way that you wanted it to be answered, don't get bitter, don't get discouraged. All these mean is that Krishna has something greater, something bigger, something more awesome, something more magnificent in your future. So instead of being backward-looking and disappointed and getting stuck in the past, wait for the future with great expectation. We read in the Krishna book about how Krishna, when he was on the planet as a small boy, he talked his father, Nanda Maharaj, into diverting the paraphernalia, which was normally used for the annual sacrifice to Indra, the Lord of Rain. Krishna diverted that sacrifice to worshiping the Brahmins, the holy men, and the cows. And when Indra got the news that he was not going to get his annual oblations, he got really angry, and he invoked the Samvartaka clouds, clouds that are normally only used at the end of the universe to annihilate the universe. And the clouds started pouring rain, thunder, and lightning. It was chilly cold. The sheets and sheets of rain were coming down. The water was rising by the minute. And everything was threatened to have been flooded and frozen to death. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're bought out, they're sold out, body and soul to Krishna. So they wanted Krishna to deliver them from the storm. And they said, Krishna, make it stop raining. Krishna, cut Indra down to size. Krishna, can we build a dam? Krishna, can we find some high ground here? Krishna, how about we build a boat, you know? And it was all Krishna, 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 and that's to their credit. But Krishna did none of that. He delivered them, but not in the way that they wanted him to. He did it in his own inimitable way. He went down and he put his hand under the hill. You can go to Govardhan Hill today. Many, many thousands of people circumambulate. They walk around. It's 25 kilometers or 15 miles. So that hill, Krishna picked it up and he put it on the little finger of his left hand. He held it without stopping the rain, without chastising Indra, just letting the rain and letting the storm go on. And all the brunt of the storm hit the top of the mountain, and the inhabitants and the cows were sheltered as if under an umbrella. They were comfortable and warm. They played games. They sang songs for 7 days until Indra came to his senses and ordered the rains, thunder, and destruction to cease and desist. So Krishna is going to do it his way. He's not going to do it according to your expectations. We need to recognize that there's two ways the Lord works. Sometimes He'll deliver us in a dramatic way. If He had stopped the rain, stopped the storm, chastise Indra, that would have been deliverance. That would have been huge. We would have celebrated that. But He didn't chastise Indra, at least not away. He didn't stop the storm. He let the storm come, and He empowered the inhabitants of Vrindavan with a sustaining faith. Once they saw that Krishna wasn't going to stop the storm, then they had to shift gears into a sustaining mood. That this storm is going to come, I need to stay in faith, I need to stay forward looking, I need to recognize that everything is under the control of God and I am in the palm of His hands. Most of the time, Krishna is not going to take us out of the adversity, but He's going to give us what we need to get through it. When Krishna takes you through the storm, you need to learn to be in peace. You need to learn to not be stressed out, not be in anxiety, not be fearful, and not get bitter in the aftermath of the storm. You won't live worried if you have this kind of a realization. The same God who protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan has put a hedge of protection around each and every one of those who keep Him first place in their life. Whether you realize it or not, you're waterproof. You're stormproof. Don't complain about the storms. Don't get discouraged and think, this is too big, this health issue, this financial issue, this legal complication, it's going to be the end of me. Nope. If you stay in faith, all it's going to do is thrust you forward. You're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out promoted. You're going to come out increased without any mildew upon you. Why? Because Almighty God is in control of the storms. He's in control of the winds. And He's even in control of our enemies. In the summer of 1896, There was a plague of grasshoppers who almost ate all the crops in Minnesota. 90% of the crops they ate. And the people there were barely able to feed themselves and squeak by. So the next year, in the spring of 1877, they were full of dread and fear because those grasshoppers from the previous year would have laid their eggs. There would be twice as many grasshoppers, and this year there was a danger they'd wipe out all the crops. So April 26, 1877, the governor of Minnesota, his name was John S. Pillsbury, he asked everyone in the state to observe fasting and a day of prayer. All the shops, all the offices, all the stores were closed, and a whole hush fell over the whole state. So they prayed. The next day, not only did it seem their prayers weren't answered, but it seemed like God was actually thumbing his nose at them. Because what happened was the temperatures rocketed up higher. There were temperatures in 85, 90 degrees. Normally, temperatures that were only experienced in July and August came unceasingly in April. And what happened was it precipitated. It sped up the worm temperature, spread up the hatching of the grasshopper eggs. And everywhere people looked, they could see little eggs being hatched and little tiny mouths coming out. And that not only lasted one day, second day, third day, record-breaking temperatures for April. And the people thought, oh my God, what have we done wrong? God must be mad at us. He's going to finish this off now. As soon as they hatch, you know, the whole crop's going to be gone. What was interesting was just when everyone had just about given hope, there were literally hours from those baby grasshoppers just spreading out all over the fields. The fourth day, from record highs, plummeted to record lows. There was a freeze, and every single one of those baby grasshoppers died. Interesting, isn't it? How Krishna works. It seems like he's working against you when all the time, just when you're about ready to give up your faith, you realize that he had everything completely in the palm of his hand. He was totally in control of everything. He went beyond the reaches of your imagination. Similarly, Duryodhana. Duryodhana was born to bring a storm into the world. He was born to precipitate a world war. He had more good advice than anyone that we can think of in history. Vidura talked to him. Dhritarashtra's own father tried to talk some sense into him. Bhishma talked to him. Dronacharya. Even Krishna came at the 11th hour and tried to talk Duryodhana out of causing the storm that was the Kurukshetra war. But it's explained that even as Krishna was talking to him face to face, the Krishna who's in the heart of every living being was causing Duryodhana's heart to harden according to his desires. He was intractable. He wasn't going to listen to any arguments in favor of compromise or peace. So he caused the Kurukshetra war. And within 18 days, all the miscreants, all the criminals, all the tyrants were gathered together in one place at Kurukshetra, and they were finished. Fulfilling God's promise that when he descends, he does so to protect the pious and the righteous and to annihilate the miscreant. So in one fell swoop, God showed his power in such a great way that within 18 days, everything was safe and secure for the pious devotees of the Lord. And during the battle that took place, there was one incident. Jayadratha had killed Arjuna's son during one day of battle, unfairly caused him to be cut down. And when the news came to Arjuna, he made a rash promise that if he didn't kill Jayadratha the next day, Arjuna would commit suicide by entering into the fire. Duryodhana had spies in the Pandavas' camp, and when he got the word, he rejoiced. Aha! All I have to do is keep Jayadratha alive for one more day, and then the champion of the Pandavas will commit suicide, and then we'll just walk in victory. So what he did was he organized his army for the next day's hostilities into a needle, 49 miles long, with Jayadratha in the back. And hostilities in those days ended at sunset. After sunset, there was no more fight. In fact, the combatants would go to each other's tents and spend the night as friends. So he had until sunset. And Krishna, as a chariot driver, Arjuna, had to either go around or over every single member of the Kaurava army to get to Jayadratha. He only had about 10 hours of daylight to do it. Now, one of the biggest challenges in the battle is water. In the heat of battle, you don't get water. In armor, you get dehydrated very quickly. So if you can't get water, you're going to be weakened and you're going to be extremely vulnerable to your enemies very quickly. So it got to be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Krishna and Arjuna had been fighting for about 6 hours. They were maybe 2/3 of the way through the Kaurava army. And Arjuna has a terrible thirst. And they can't stop to get water because everybody's focused on killing Arjuna. So Krishna says, shoot a bunch of arrows up and then make the sky black with your arrows. And I'll cause them to be seamless. I'll freeze them, and we'll make a little pavilion here. We'll have a break. So Arjuna shot arrows off in every direction, and Krishna did some magic that they all became intact. And Arjuna shot another arrow into the ground. Water came up. They quenched their thirst. They sat down. They brought out their picnic basket, made a few sandwiches. You know, you want rye or whole wheat, Swiss or provolone? You want romaine or you want iceberg, you know? And their enemies are just throwing themselves against this pavilion of arrows, you know, trying their best to penetrate, knocking themselves out. And Krishna and Arjuna, right in the middle of the battle, right in the middle of the most critical situation, they've got 1/3 of the Kaurava army still to go, and they've only got a couple hours to do it. And if they don't, Arjuna's got to kill himself. And yet they're having a picnic. And then they have a little nap to get their energy back. Arjuna's not worried because you and God are a majority. There's nothing that can come against you which can actually stand up to the unlimited power of the Lord. So they relaxed, they didn't stress out, they had their little picnic, they had some hydration, something to eat, and then they continued. And then I won't tell you the end of the story, you'll have to read the Mahabharata yourself. So if you feel like you're in a storm, come back to that place of peace. God has you in the palm of His hand. As long as you're doing your best, being of good character, being honest, full of integrity, honoring Him, the winds may come, but they will not defeat you. They'll promote you. What is now your test will become your testimony. If Krishna chooses not to deliver you from the storm, then just stay in faith. It means that you're going to have a greater testimony. When the storm's over, you're going to be able to say to someone else, He did it for me, He can do it for you. Some things you only learn in a storm. In a storm, you learn to trust God in a greater way. And it's only in a storm that you see His faithfulness come to pass. That you see the promises that He made in the Bhagavad Gita, He will fulfill them no matter how bad the circumstances look. Another interesting fact is that while the Pandavas were enduring their own storm, that the winds of that storm pushed them to a lot of other people that were in need. And their reaction was to reach out to those people in need, to counsel those people that need counseling, to befriend those people that need friendliness, to lift up the fallen. They weren't so preoccupied with their own problem that they said, oh, don't bother me, I've got enough to worry about myself. They recognized that the best way to reach the end of our problems is to help other people out. Krishna notices that. That's a test that we all have to pass. And if we pass the test, instead of just looking for our miracle, we need to learn, even in the midst of our own storm, to be a miracle for someone else who's experiencing tough times themselves. That is the best way that we can bring a happy resolution to our own problems. Pray for one another so that others can be healed and consequently will be healed. Sometimes the winds of the storm are going to take you places that you never imagined, you could have never predicted, but you will find people who are in need of your ministrations. And that was God's arrangement all along, that in the midst of solving your problems, you're meant to be a blessing to other people as well. I heard about airplanes. Airplanes take off against the wind. When the wind's blowing against the airplane and they put the rudders down, that contrary force is most effective in achieving liftoff. So the winds that normally you'd expect them to push down, those winds are actually essential for getting the airplane off of the ground. Similarly, an eagle. When an eagle gets in a storm, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's very little visibility, he doesn't try to pit his energy against the energy of the storm. He just takes a deep breath, he counts to 10, he relaxes, and he just has himself a good stretch, stretches his rings out, and lets the storm take him where it will. And eventually, inevitably, the storm takes him higher and higher and higher, and he comes out of the storm, above the storm, where everything is calm and peaceful as it could possibly be. Let's learn the art of being eagles. No struggling, no anxiety, no loss of sleep. Do everything that we can do, and having done that and satisfied ourselves, let's stop struggling. Let's quit trying to make it happen our way. Let's learn to put it in God's hands and trust Him for the outcome. When you come back to that place of peace, knowing that Krishna is in control of the storm, then those winds that could have pushed you down, they end up lifting you higher. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.